Oh, these readings from the Gospel of John for year A in Lent. A colleague of mine calls them pack a lunch Gospels. Today is the story of a blind man who is healed by Jesus, told as only the writer of John would. Imagery and symbols, a healing on the Sabbath, a sign of God's power, an encounter with Jesus that leads to belief. All the other characters playing their very human roles, questioning, doubting, blaming. It even has just the kind of twist we can expect from a John story. Those who think they can see turn out to be the ones who are blind. I don't know about you, but I am feeling a little lost these days. Things keep changing, and we can't see what's coming next. Where will we find our hope and grace and healing? The man in today's story wasn't planning to be healed. Wasn't expecting it, didn't have it on his calendar. And isn't that so often the way that grace comes? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved someone like a man born blind. There are so many ways we can be blind, so many things we can't or won't see. The Gospel of John was written for a particular group of early Christians living out their faith in community, written to help them be disciples. And that's what John's Gospel can do for us too, when we look for our stories in these stories. I find the biggest story of my life in today's story. One that shows up again and again. Over 50 years ago, on the first Sunday of November, I stumbled through the back door of an Episcopal church in a small town in Massachusetts. I knew I was lost. I was blind to many things, hungry for something, thirsty for living water. Like the Samaritan woman in last week's story. I went forward for communion. Still can't tell you why. Impulse, curiosity, desperation. Maybe it was God. Maybe it was grace. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved someone like me. I received bread and wine and recognized Jesus, and I believed in him. I didn't know what else I believed, but I believed in Jesus. I didn't plan it, I didn't expect it, and it certainly was not on my calendar. That's a big dramatic example from long ago now. But I have a recent, more everyday, life-sized one to share. I usually make very intentional plans about what I will do for Lent. This year, I made no such decision, but my Lenten work fell right into my lap. It began early in the morning on Ash Wednesday. Kind of perfect timing, wouldn't you say? We were set to leave early the next morning for a funeral in Vermont, planning to stay with my sister and her husband in Massachusetts. Then at 6 a.m. on Ash Wednesday, my sister called. Her husband was really, really sick, and we couldn't stay with them. changes, adjustments, new plans. Our adventures on the East Coast had just begun. There were snowstorms, canceled flights, closed airports. Our lodging plans were adjusted over and over again. There was a revolving door of canceling, renting, returning cars, and then learning that our flight had been canceled and having to re-rent a car. Asking several people for a place to stay. I have come to see this as a kind of spring training for Lent and for life. Lots of learning and practice about pivoting and being flexible. Remembering with frustration how much we cannot control. Trying to make the best decisions we could with so many unknowns. Trying very hard to be open to see the moments of grace. And you know, they were not that hard to see. One friend taking us in the first night, despite her very complicated life. Then a wonderful time with family at the funeral as we celebrated the life of an amazing 95-year-old woman who lived and loved out loud. Incredible friends in Maine who took us in for the last three nights. The quiet beauty of the snow, the very snow that was causing so much havoc. The crashing waves on the beach across the street. The hilarity of seeing surfers walking by with their surfboards. They were in wetsuits. The delight of being snowed in with good old friends, doing puzzles, reading, catching up on each other's families. The surprise of a sunny day between snowstorms that allowed us to make an outing, complete with a fabulous lunch overlooking the water. The ease of a small airport just 20 minutes away in Portland, Maine, instead of the chaos that was Boston Airport. The kindness of so many people trying to help. It made me think about how essential it is in these times to see the goodness that exists right along with everything that is amiss or a mess. There were people in Jesus' time who believed blindness was a sign of sin. The disciples ask about this early in our story. Jesus is clear that the man's blindness has nothing to do with sin. The word sin is almost always singular in John. Sin is having Jesus in front of you and not believing. This is why Jesus calls the Pharisees blind, calls them sinners. Jesus is right there in front of them. And still they will not believe. I wonder how many times we miss seeing Jesus right in front of us. In the beauty of God's creation, in the other person, the one who needs us and the ones we need. How many times do we miss the chance to say we have seen him? Do not lose heart. The man in today's story doesn't get it right immediately. Things get pretty dicey for him after he is healed. Friends, families, neighbors, religious leaders all give him a hard time. Not one person is happy about him and his new sight. Even his own parents seem only interested in protecting themselves. He's called on the carpet, interrogated, thrown out of the synagogue. Yet the blind man keeps speaking his truth. As he does, he gets closer and closer to the truth. He sees more and more clearly. Let's look at the progression of what the man says. After his first rather detailed accounts, he gets right to the heart of it. He put mud on my eyes, then I washed, and now I see. Then he starts to draw conclusions. He is a prophet. I do not know whether he is a sinner. One thing I do know, I was blind, now I see. Here's an amazing thing. You do not know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. In the last scene of the story, Jesus returns and finds him and brings him down the home stretch. Do you believe in the Son of Man? Jesus asks. And who is he, sir? Tell me so that I may believe in him. You have seen him, says Jesus. The one speaking with you is he. Then finally, these words to Jesus. Lord, I believe. We all have blind spots. Only Jesus, the light of the world who comes from God, can find us, heal us, and make us whole. When you are feeling lost or blind, look for Jesus in your life, in every person. When you catch a glimpse of him, speak your truth. Keep speaking it, and you will more and more clearly see Jesus. Tell your story. That's what disciples do. Look for every time you can say, one thing I do know, I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. Look for every moment of amazing grace, perhaps not on our calendars, but clearly on God's.